Well, today's message has taken many different forms for me because, as I was telling Scott, I had my message ready together yesterday, and it was actually like 11 pages long because I was going to take this on a history lesson. And something inside of me snapped, and I said, no, I'm not using this. So at 4 o'clock yesterday, I scrapped the whole thing and said, no, this is not what God wants me to do. So we're going to go to God in prayer first. Amen. Let's go to God. Dear Father God, thank you for today. Thank you for bringing us all here together. God, I just pray that as I share this message, dear God, that everything I speak is from you. And God, I just pray that there be no confusion, because you are not the author of confusion, but you're going to make everything straight as I follow your will. Amen. Father, I just love you and I thank you. It's Jesus' name I pray, man.
Amen.
Well, anyhow, the reason it was so long, you might ask, is because I want to take us on a little bit of a history lesson. Because all these messages that the brothers have been doing on Genesis has built up to this climax. Because if we look back at Genesis 42, you know, we learn that, you know, Joseph had his 10 brothers there. You know, and we also know that there was the 7 years of prosperity, but the 7 years of famine. And we know that when the brothers came to Joseph, it wasn't during the years of prosperity, right? It was during the 7 years of famine. Mm-hmm. So Joseph realized when his brothers came for food exactly who they were, but they didn't. And see, Joseph was trying to, what God was using Joseph to do was to reunify the family. And so that's what happens in Genesis 42. And so we go to Genesis 43. And we see that Judah makes a promise, Joseph entertains his 11 brothers, right? And he feeds them. He gives them the best food. Benjamin, as a matter of fact, he gives 5 portions extra, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then... let me get a drink.
Right.
My mouth is just there.
Yeah.
Anyhow, the brothers, we're going to jump. Actually, let me stop and restart for a minute. Because God is taking me. God's doing something for me right now I haven't had it happen in a long time. He's taking me totally off script. So, we're going to start by reading Genesis chapter 46.
Okay.
We're going to start by looking at verses 1 through 7. Well, actually, let's go back to Genesis 45. We'll start with verse 26 because Scott, and as a matter of fact, Scott did an awesome job in doing the lesson last week. And this is a precursor to where we are today.
Mm-hmm.
But in verse 26 of Genesis 45, it says, they told him, Joseph is still alive. In fact, he is ruler of all Egypt. Jacob was stunned. He did not believe them. But when they told them everything Joseph had said to them, and when he saw... Underline the word saw if you make notes in your Bibles, or if you don't. But when he saw the carts Joseph had sent to carry them back, the spirit of their father Jacob revived. And Israel said, I am convinced. My son Joseph is still alive. I will go and see him before I die. So here, this leads us to where we are right now. In Genesis 46. And it says, so Israel set out with all that that was his. And when he reached Beersheba, he offered sacrifices to God of his father Isaac. And God spoke to Israel in a vision at night and said, Jacob, Jacob. Here I am, he replied. I am God, the God of your father, he said. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you a great nation there. I will go down to Egypt with you, and I will surely bring you back again. And Joseph's own hand will close your eyes. Now, for those of you who don't know what that means that Joseph is going to take him, his body when he is dead. Verse 5, then Jacob left Beersheba, and Israel's sons took their father Jacob to their and their children and their wives in the carts that Pharaoh had sent to transport them. They also took with them their livestock and the possessions that they had acquired in Canaan. And Jacob and all his offspring went to Egypt. He took with him to Egypt his sons, his grandsons, and his daughters, and his granddaughters, all his offspring. Even Jacob would have been thrilled to travel to Egypt to see Joseph. But, you know, there must have been a question in the back of his mind. You know, what about the promised land? You know, would God bring his people back to Canaan if they left via going to Egypt? But knowing Jacob's anxieties, you see, God appeared to Jacob in a vision to reassure him. The journey to Egypt would fulfill his part of his promise, making Jacob a great nation there. Turn with me, if you will, to Genesis 28, and we're going to look at verse 15. Just for a brief second. Verse 15 says, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. How about that? At the appointed time, God would bring him back, and that's in Genesis 46:4. And in the meantime, God promised to be with Jacob for the journey. Armed with God's presence and renewal of God's promise, Jacob was able to make the trek with hope. And see, here we see Jacob, a faith-filled man, on this journey. Because everything from what he was told that Joseph was alive, everything he's doing is on faith. He don't know exactly where he's going, but if you remember, God is telling him in a vision, you know, do not be afraid. In verse 3, do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you a great nation there. You know, Todd brought up the fact that the phrase do not worry is in the Bible over 257 times. And that phrase, do not worry and do not fear, with them total, believe it or not, is 365 altogether. Amen. So God had Jacob with all his insecurities. You know, what we're going to read next, I mean, I know some people don't like to read genealogies. Yeah. Sometimes they can be boring. But if we remember, God made a promise to Abraham, right? That he would make him fruitful and multiply. God made a promise to Isaac that he would be fruitful and multiply. right?
Right.
Same thing to Jacob. And it mentions in verse 7 that Jacob took with him his sons, his grandsons, his daughters, and his granddaughters, and all his offspring. So this is all the people that God promised going back from Abraham. You know, what here is to follow is a list of Jacob's descendants at the time. You know, each of Jacob's sons had a bundle of sons of their own. So the entire family numbered 70. As a matter of fact, we're going to go into this starting with verse 8. These are the names of the sons of Israel, Jacob and his descendants, who went to Egypt. Starting with Reuben, the firstborn of Jacob. The sons of Reuben, Hanok, Pelu, Hezron, and Carmi. The sons of Simeon, Jemuel, Jamin, Ohad, Jachin, Zohar, and Shaul, son of the Canaanite woman. The sons of Levi, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. The sons of Judah, Onan, Shelah, Perez, and Zerah. But and Onan died in the land of Canaan. The sons of Perez, Hezron, and Hamul. The sons of Issachar, Tola, Pua, Jashub, and Shimron. The sons of Zebulun, Sered, Elon, and Jalil. Wow, some of these names in here.
Yeah.
But these were the sons Leah bore to Jacob in Padamaram, besides his daughter Dinah. These sons and daughters of his were 33 in all. Okay. Now we're going to go on to the sons of Gad. Zephon, Haggai, Shuni, Esbon, Eri, Erodi, and Ereli. The sons of Asher, Imnah, Ishpa, Ishvi, Beriah, their sister Sarah, the sons Beriah, Heber, and Machil. These were the children born to Jacob by Zilpha, whom Laban had given to his daughter, Leah, 16 in all. The sons of Jacob's wife, Rachel, Joseph and Benjamin. In Egypt, Manasseh and Ephraim were born to Joseph by Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. The sons of Benjamin, Bela, Becher, Eshbo, Gera, Naaman, Ehi, Rosh, Mupim, Hupim, and Ard. These were the sons of Rachel who were born to Jacob, 14 in all. So far, we've got 33, plus we got 14.
Right.
So my math says that's 47, right?
And 16 from Leah.
Right. And it says, verse 26, all those who went to Egypt with Jacob, those who were his direct descendants, not counting his sons' wives, numbered 66 persons, with two sons who had been born to Joseph in Egypt. The members of Jacob's family, which went to Egypt, were 70 in all. You know, after an absence of 22 years, Joseph was reunited with his father. And as we're going to read in verse 28, Now Jacob sent Judah ahead of him to Joseph to get directions to Goshen. When they arrived in the region of Goshen, Joseph had his chariot made ready and wait, and went to Goshen to meet his father Israel. As soon as Joseph appeared before him, he threw his arms around his father and wept for a long time. Verse 30. Israel said to Joseph, "Now I am ready to die, since I have seen for myself that you are still alive." Then Joseph said to his brothers and to his father's household, "I will go up and speak to Pharaoh, and I will say to him, 'My brothers and my father's household, who are living in the land of Canaan, have come to me. The men are shepherds. They tend livestock, and they have brought along their flocks and herds and everything they own. When Pharaoh calls you in and asks your occupation, you should answer, "Your servants have tended livestock from our boyhood on, just as our fathers did." Then you will be allowed to settle in the region of Goshen, for all shepherds are detestable to the Egyptians. So we see what happened with Joseph and Israel after 22 years. We see that embrace. We see that Jacob was overcome with emotion as well, exclaiming that he was ready to die now because he had seen Joseph's face. You know, this kind of sounds familiar when you go back, like I said, to Genesis 45, verse 28, when he says that Israel said, "I am convinced my son Joseph is still alive. I will go see him before I die." You know, that confidence is there. You know, that reunion once again confirmed to Jacob that God's promises were good and dependable, even when circumstances seemed to threaten them. They're in the midst of a famine. The family's reunited. That family is being spared the additional 5 years. They don't have to reap or toil for those 5 years, because this was the promise that Joseph has with Pharaoh. Pharaoh told Joseph, "Bring your family down, and they will be spared the 5 years." So here we see this, and Joseph is giving his family a brief lesson in cross-cultural communication and how to interact with Pharaoh. Specifically, he encouraged them to emphasize not only that they are shepherds, since all shepherds are detestable to Egyptians, because if you remember, the Jews were detestable to the Egyptians, and vice versa, but they also raised livestock from their youth. You know, Joseph had hoped to acquire for his family the land near Goshen, which was suitable for raising sheep and cattle. And, you know, I got to stop and laugh when I see the place Goshen, because me and Scott go fishing quite often, and there's a place we go to called Goshen Landing. So I keep thinking maybe we're fishing in God's country. But anyhow, going back to this, you know, and seeing the promise that God gave for Israel and his family, God was faithful thousands of years before. God is faithful now. And imagine what God's going to do for us in the future. And when you see, drink. Sorry about that. I didn't expect God to just really throw me off a cliff. curveball.
That's good.
Stop, Richard.
But one thing I am learning from this curveball is when we trust God and His will, things will work out. I came into the sermon, I had some notes. Like I said, I threw them out. I came in, yes, I did have one page that I was able to use. But God even took me up totally off this right here. And I pray that this journey that God took me on helps you understand how this journey for Jacob, how climactic it is, because the family is united. Yeah. And as we're going to read on in the future chapters, Israel's going to die. As a matter of fact, I have the fortunate pleasure of doing chapter 48. And the title of it is Jacob Blesses Joseph's Sons, because the Joseph's sons are the ones that are going to take him off for his final days. But brothers and sisters, let's take this journey that Jacob took to Egypt and let's use it as an example of going by faith and not by sight. Jacob didn't know exactly where God was going to do. Yes, there was a promise that was generations off. But Jacob didn't realize that it applied to him too. And as I stand here getting ready to close out, I'm standing here in awe because I didn't realize that the promises that God made for me, they're still holding true. And I see it through everybody that's in the audience and those around Zoom. So I just want to thank you and thank you for your patience, and to God be the glory.